If you turn your Bibles now to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Galatians, chapter 6. As you turn there, I want to talk for just a second here on the idea of expectations. Have you ever been in a situation where you expected one thing? Perhaps you expected something to happen quickly. You expected something to happen, and it didn't. Things turned out differently than you expected. When I think of that, I think of even when we first went over to New Guinea. Our expectations, we didn't know what to expect. We were going over there just saying, Lord, guide us, direct us, tell us what to do. We had, first of all, started out expecting to work with a veteran missionary for 1 or 2 years. And within 3 months, the Lord had given us direction that He wanted us to be starting a new work. And within 6 months, we had moved into the village of Tirukave. That wasn't according to our expectations. The Lord was changing the course of our actions according to what He wanted. Another of those expectations, we went over. The assumption that I had was that, you know, an area, and we would work to start a church. And I thought, well, maybe for 6 years, and we would be ready to turn the work over to a national pastor, and we would move on to another place. That was my expectation. As we worked there, the Lord made it clear after 4 years, it's not time yet. It's not time to be moving on to another ministry. You still got work here. So I thought, okay, well, Lord, however long you want us to be, well, we can take a few more years. That's okay. And we stayed there for another 4 years. And the Lord still said, we actually tried to push forward a little bit, and the Lord clearly shut the doors and said, nope, it's not time yet. They're not ready yet. It's not time. So I said, Lord, well, you know, there's a lot of expectations out there. What we're expecting things to happen quickly, and we're wanting to be on to a new place and start a new church. And yet the Lord just had us wait and just said, okay, if that's what you want us to do. And it's exciting being at the point of, not after 4 years, but after 14 years, now being able to say, praise the Lord, that the work is in the hands of a national pastor. It's an exciting point in ministry. But it's interesting that the expectations of what we had are not what God's plan specifically was. We had assumed that, you know, things would go quickly, the results would happen quickly, the maturity would happen quickly, and God was just saying, slow down, wait, wait on my timing. I want us to look down in Galatians chapter 6. We're going to start off with looking at one verse, verse 9. So Galatians 6, 9. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Idea of being weary. I think of a physical illustration of weariness. When I was actually, I was still in Bible college. After my junior year of college, I actually took 6 weeks worked over with a veteran missionary in New Guinea, just doing an internship with him. And during that time, it was interesting, there's a lot of things that happened, but I took a trip actually to the village of Tirukave. It was kind of a long story. I had no idea that the Lord was going to lead us there. But this missionary had been sending some preacher boys from his church to the village of Tirukave. It was a 6-hour hike from where he had been. And so I was a young guy. They said, you know what, go along with him. That'd be a good experience for you. So a couple other preacher boys that were going, and they wanted me to give a devotional. So I went along on that hike. I had no idea how physically taxing that 6 hours of a hike would be. 6 hours walking on, you know, on a fairly flat level terrain is one thing. For 6 hours, that's still kind of long. 6 hours in about 6,000 feet altitude, that makes it that much more complicated, because then your lungs are not used to dealing with the physical exertion. But then on top of that was the fact that some of the grades that we were climbing to be able to walk that, they were steep enough that we had to hold on to things to kind of pull ourselves up the mountain. They were very steep grades, and I was not used to that. Along with that was the fact that I've always been used to doing things quickly. I walk quickly, I do things quickly, and I didn't really, at the time, pay attention to how everybody else was trying to take this hike. I was just doing the way that I always did, and that is I walked very quickly. I was trying to hike very quickly. But I noticed that about halfway through that hike, I was so completely exhausted that I thought, there is no way. Even getting there, I thought, there's no way I can get there. But then on the way back, I was so beat the next day that I just said, Lord, I don't think I can do this. But there's no other option. There's no place to stay. And I thought, I'm just going to die on the way back. I know I was melodramatic, but it was the most physically time that I probably have ever had. But at the start, it didn't seem like that big of a deal. I wasn't feeling weary at the start. But what I had to do is to keep on pushing through, even though I was becoming more weary and weary as the hike got longer and longer. Now, I'm sure you have a different illustration in your picture, the idea of weariness, how we start something and it doesn't seem so bad. It seems fairly easy even. But the difficult time sometimes can be continuing on and not becoming weary. The Lord is telling us here, let us not be weary in well-doing. And he gives us the promise, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We're going to look at that last part, the due season part, in a little bit. But I want to take just a couple minutes, and we are going to make this short in doing this, but I want to go back to the start of the chapter. And I want us to look at the context really quickly here and see what is it specifically in context that God was telling us, don't be weary in this type of well-doing. We can apply it to many, many situations in our life. It is a general principle, but I think it's especially good for us to be able to say, what, Lord, were you telling us specifically? What good things that he had just told them was he then going back and saying, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in doing what you know is right. So let's just touch those very quickly here. Verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Okay, the first principle here that God had told them to do, and then that they needed to not be weary in doing, was the idea of helping, especially when one has fallen into sin, helping to restore other Christian brothers and sisters. About you, but I know that the different times that I have had to be involved in helping someone who is away from the Lord. It's easy to help somebody who has done something wrong, but then they have a repentant heart. They're wanting to get it right. They're wanting to get it taken care of. That's easy. What's challenging and difficult needs the reminder of let us not be weary in well-doing. As when there's somebody who has done something that they shouldn't have. Maybe they've wronged you, maybe wronged somebody else. So there's a something that has to be reconciled. And then somebody doesn't want to get things taken care of. They are resisting what they know is right. They want to stay in their sin. That is difficult. God doesn't say just because they are stubborn that we need to give up on them and say, well, that's their own decision. I understand there's only so much we can do. But God's responsibility here, it's when it talks about restoring them, that process of trying to work towards restoring them is a responsibility that we have. And God's saying, don't be weary. I'm not going to belabor that too long, but that is one of the things God's saying, be faithful in. God wants you to be working to help resolve something between you and somebody else. God's saying, don't be weary in well-doing. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Here's talking about the idea of carrying other people's burdens, whether it be something where they are struggling spiritually. Maybe it's not an outright sin, but they are going through a difficult time spiritually. Maybe it's something that's happened in their life, and they need somebody to stand alongside them and help them through that difficulty. Again, I think sometimes with some people and personalities, it's easy. You know, we go and we try to help and be a blessing to them. But there are some people, and I don't know who it is in your life, but there are usually some people, when we consider maybe sitting down and talking with them for an extended period of time, or maybe even helping them, that for one reason or the other, their personality just doesn't work really well with ours. We have a difficult time being along with them. Maybe they just want to complain all the time about all the difficulties that they are going through, and they never seem to care about what we're going through, but they always want to explain all of their difficulties. That I can say, you know what, we know the command, bear ye one another's burdens. And maybe we've tried to do that, but then we become weary in that well-doing because for some people it's more difficult than others. God's command to us is be not weary in well-doing. Look at verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. Now this, just in summary, is talking about our responsibility for self-evaluation. God wants me to be constantly evaluating myself, and it talks about proving or examining your own work. Self-examination, maybe it's easy if we don't look too deeply, if we don't look too hard. But if we really and truly wanting to examine and say, Lord, where do I need to correct myself? Where do I need to fix? Where are my shortcomings? It's difficult to go to somebody else and say, can you help me? I am needing to examine my life. Where are the things that I'm not seeing? Something that I'm sure, I hope you have done at some point in your life. But God's command to us is that should be a regular thing, an ongoing thing of proving, examining our own work so that God can reward us for our work for Him. But it's not easy. It's not easy to constantly be looking at ourselves in a right sense, in a critical way, saying, Lord, show me where I'm faulty. Show me what I am wrong in. We want people to come and pat ourselves on the back, pat us on the back, say how good we are. We want to think the best of us. And instead, the Lord's saying, examine with an honest heart, in an honest way. And then verse 6 says, let him that is in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Here's communicate, of course, is not referring specifically to our verbal communication. It's talking about giving to meet needs. Specifically, it's talking about the fact of your responsibility, our responsibility to support those who are in authority over us, specifically the pastor of the church. Now, that is a responsibility. We all know that we should be giving financially to support our church, to be able to support your pastor. And yet, sometimes, isn't it easy to be weary in that well-doing? You know, when the bills are higher, when the things are more difficult, when we've had things unexpected in our life, to not be so faithful in our giving to the Lord. Faithful when things are easier, but when it becomes difficult, now we become weary in the well-doing and say, well, Lord, somehow you'll understand. You know, I've got this need too. Instead of trusting that we do what is right and God is going to take care of the reward. So we've looked at, God's given us these different illustrations. He's given kind of almost like a shotgun of these different commands. He's saying, this is responsibilities that you have to do. And we could look at many more throughout the Bible. But in the context of this, he comes down to verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So leading up to verse 9 there, and he's giving us the illustration of sowing and reaping. Soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatever you plant, you are going to reap the fruits thereof. And specifically in verse 9, it's talking about the positive ones, meaning he's trying to encourage us, saying your responsibility is simply to do the faithfulness, to be faithful, to keep on planting the right. To me, that is really encouraging. It is encouraging because whatever job God gives me to do, He has put me in charge of just saying, that is what you're supposed to do. Now do it and be faithful and don't be weary. He hasn't given me the responsibility to produce certain results, at least in many areas of life. In the work that God's given us over in New Guinea, our responsibility is not to have certain number of results. That is not our responsibility. The results are up to God. He is the one that is working in hearts. He is the one that is convicting. It is Him that is drawing hearts to Him. Those, and even as far as Christians, once they've accepted Him as their Savior, my responsibility is to be faithful in proclaiming the truth, telling them what God says. And certainly I have different responsibilities in that. I need to be faithful in well-doing, but it is God's responsibility to actually produce the growth. That is His responsibility. He says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. God will give us eternal rewards for what we do for Him. Even if for some reason you do right and year after year after year you're faithful in what doesn't seem to be yielding any specific physical results. You're just doing the right thing, doing what you know is right, whether it be one of these things that we saw in the context or something else that you know is a right thing to do. God says, I will give you the reward. I will reward you. You may see it now, you may see it later. Our eyes are so easy to go on to be focused on what we can see in our tangible blessings. We want to see physical results. But our responsibility is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Whether it be faithfulness in a ministry God's given you in the church here, whether it be faithfulness in reaching out to those who are lost around you, whether it be faithfulness in doing right in your family, even when you don't see the results, even when it seems like, well, I'm responding right towards my husband, my wife, I'm responding right towards my kids, but you know what? I don't seem to see any positive actions that no results coming back. They're not treating me any better. Nothing's changing. Our responsibility is faithfulness and be not weary. But then we can't forget about that first part of verse 8 when it says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. We can't forget about the fact that every single time we choose to do things our own way, do it in our fleshly way, whether or not it is a blatant sin or whether it is something where we know that is not what God wants us to do, whether it be that I'm delaying something that I should be doing, I'm avoiding something that I know God wants me to do, but I'm just saying, God, not now. I'll do it sometime. I'll do it later. If we are choosing to follow our flesh, our desires, instead of following what God wants, he says, you will reap the consequences. And that's sobering. God doesn't say exactly what the consequences are going to be. Most of the time, we don't have any influence over what consequences come because of our choosing to follow our own way. But it is a sobering thing to realize whether it be something huge or whether it be something smaller, there are always consequences for our sin. Sure, we can get right with God. God has promised to forgive us. He has not promised to take away all the consequences of our sin. Even though we can be right with Him, we still have to face consequences. And I'm very thankful that God is so merciful. I know that I can look at countless times in my life where I deserve consequences far greater than I received. But it would be foolish of me to think somehow that there are no consequences whatsoever, because God says there is. It takes us down to the last verse. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I said it was the last verse. Let's go to one more verse, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. God has encouraged us to say what you know to do, the next right thing. Do it. I truly believe that as we're following the Lord in the step-by-step actions of saying, God, I'm going to be faithful. This is what I have. This is what you told me to do. In Sunday school, we talked about the idea of seeking first the kingdom of God. God, what do you want? You're my king. What do you want me to do? I will be faithful in doing that. As we as individuals are doing that, then God can direct us to be involved in the local church as He wants us to be. So instead of sitting on the pew and just attending the services and saying, I don't want to get involved, I don't want to do anything, then instead we would be listening to Him as He's saying, hey, what is there that you can do? And God will prompt our hearts. God will direct. Maybe He'll use a person. Maybe it'll be something else where He'll guide us into ways we can be involved. Whether it be in church ministry or even beyond that, to where the church sends you out as a worker somewhere else in the world. God still does that. That is still His desire. Just because we are in the year 2024 and there are fewer missionaries going out and more coming back, doesn't mean that God's desire for the world has changed. God still wants to reach the world with the gospel. He wants to reach your community with the gospel. But we've got to be willing to say, God, whatever you want me to do, I will do it faithfully. And even when it seems that I am getting weary and I'm not seeing any results and things aren't happening like I expected, that I'll say, Lord, I'll trust your promise. You said I will reap if I faint not, if I'm not going to be just sitting down in the job, weary and giving up. You said, God, that I will reap results. And again, we may need to say to the Lord, Lord, I don't know where those results are. Maybe they're just in heaven right now. Maybe they're coming in the future time. But just to say to the Lord, Lord, I will be faithful no matter what it is. I will continue. And Lord, with your help, I will not be weary in well-doing. As we come to a close here, my question for you would be this. What is it in your life right now where if you were honest, you would say, yeah, I'm becoming weary. I'm becoming weary in well-doing in this area. I used to be a lot more faithful in praying, talking to the Lord every day, spending time in God's Word. I've become weary in well-doing. I used to be a lot more faithful and consistent in giving tithes to the Lord, my offerings. I've gotten slack on that. Now I give some, but it's more like a little bit of the overflow, a little bit of the what I consider extra instead of actually being faithful. I used to be faithful in doing what I know is right in resolving conflicts between me and other people. And now I've let them kind of stack up because I've become weary. I just don't want to have to deal with it. Maybe it's something where you have a ministry in the church. Maybe you're still going through the motions of doing it. But maybe in that, you've been weary. Because of that, you're not doing it with the right heart. You're just going through the motions and not actually doing it for the Lord with the joy that the Lord wants to give you. Whatever it is that the Lord has spoken to you about, I would challenge you, would you let God's word work in your heart and change your heart to where you will say, Lord, help me to do the right thing and be not weary in well-doing. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the fact that you have given us promises that we can trust. But even beyond that, Lord, I'm so thankful that you give us instructions so that we know what you expect and how to live our lives. It's so easy to get our focus on the wrong thing, our expectations on the wrong thing, instead of saying, Lord, the results are up to you. My responsibility is faithfulness, not being weary in well-doing. Lord, help each one of us. Help me in my life, in the areas when I start becoming weary, that you would strengthen my heart so that I would continue faithfully. With each person here, or whatever way you've worked in their heart, that truly you would help strengthen them the idea of faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Pastor.